Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Yeah, the Florida man, Ron DeSantis, made a bad decision. He signed a bill, or is expected to sign it, that will allow doctors to kill gay people if they come in with a broken leg. Oh, wait, that's not what it said, but that's what the New Republic said was in the bill. It's not. Instead, Ron DeSantis simply banning certain medical procedures, like here in Cut 10.
Amongst, I would say, rogue elements of the medical establishment to do things that is basically the mutilation of minors. I mean, they're trying to do sex change operations on minors, giving them things like puberty blockers and doing things that are irreversible to them. And that is not based on science. That is not based on evidence. Here in the United States, you have a very, I would say, ideologically charged small group of folks within medicine that are really pushing these types of procedures on minors. We think that that is wrong. In Florida last year, we took action so that no physician that does those procedures are going to be able to keep their medical license. So that's gone if you do this.
Yeah, terrible decision. This is actually what the New Republic said, is they said a Florida GOP bill would let doctors deny treatment to anyone if they just felt like it. In fact, the first paragraph of the bill says, no, you can't, because of people's characteristics, deny them, particularly emergency treatment. It's specific treatments that aren't treatments. Mutilation is the right word here. And I mentioned Target, and people might have said, wait a minute, did you just do Target? Let me explain where my head is at with this. Target says, hey, we're going to be $500 million short, and CNN pretends that the shoplifting that's causing that's because of inflation. It's not. This has been going on in these Democrat-run cities for a decade. It's just gotten worse in the past 3 years as it's become more organized. So Target's saying, well, we've got to stop this. Well, hey, Target, you're selling in your stores bathing suits, apparently, as I've seen on social media, that have that are tuck friendly, and that means that boys can better able to pretend to be girls because they can tuck their penises into a pouch in the female bathing suit, or men can do this. And how does that connect? Like this: if you have a society where you can decide that this man tucking his penis away in a girl's bathing suit is a girl, a little girl, like Dylan Mulvaney pretends to be a little girl, you then live in a society where someone else can say, that's mine. Wait a minute, that's on our store shelves. Yeah, but it's mine. I identify as you. I identify as the CEO of Target. I identify as the maker of that product. I identify as the person who paid for that product. But everybody knows you didn't. But everybody knows that boys are not girls. The lie of this evil cult of transgenderism is not just a lie. It is the attacking of truth. And Target had better recognize that as they merchandise this mental illness, this sin to kids of departing from God, that they are in fact creating more of a society that will feel entitled to help themselves to whatever they like. Because truth, of course, doesn't exist.
Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
K Caitlin Collins has gotten a big-time primetime slot at CNN after the town hall. She's the lady who questioned President Trump during that town hall and, in my judgment, was swept off the floor by President Trump. And she's got this new primetime gig. Now, this is, to me, endemic of D.C. And, in fact, I don't necessarily blame Caitlin Collins, because Caitlin Collins is a creature of D.C. She used to work for Tucker Carlson. Remember him? He had a show on Fox News. Yeah, I know. I know Tucker's bigger than Fox. I know that. But she used to work for him at the Daily Caller, and Tucker had him on his program. Now, I want to give, as we hear this, this is how she used to think President Trump attacking the press. This is how she used to think of it. And I want to just request that we give her some grace, because people can change. But I want to examine this afterwards to see if we think she changed or something else changed. So in this clip, 07. Question. Did Caitlin Collins have a change of her views or a change in who pays her?
What does that do to the reporters covering the briefing every day?
People are a little hysterical about his criticism. Yes, he hates the press. Yes, he's very vocal about it. But what president has not hated the press? We make their lives harder, and they all hate us. They may not all talk about it, but they definitely hate
us. Yes, they do.
So, but people are taking it really personally, and you shouldn't take the president's criticism personally. It shouldn't affect your reporting. But you can tell when you read the New York Times and CNN that it does affect their reporting, and that's not what should happen. I don't take my cues from the president. I report on him. I don't report to him.
So you think that there's a personal element to this? They don't like
definitely
because he criticized,
because he calls them out by their names, and they don't like that. And then they get a lot of heat on Twitter, and then it makes them resent him, not for his policies and not for not following through on his campaign promises, but for who he is as a person. And that's not your job. Your job is not to get your feelings hurt.
The aspect of this that's very, very familiar for someone who's worked in the Beltway is this has happened to Jake Tapper. There was a time, and I don't know if you remember this, where Jake was about as straightforward a reporter as you could get. Incidentally, Jake was also super approachable, nice guy. And I ran into him when he was preparing to do a report outside the Republican National Committee. And he was on the footstep, on the doorstep. And I was walking out, and I saw him in his jeans and his nice sport coat. And I just said, and he was setting up so that I was interrupting. I just went up and said, "Hey, Jake, can I say hi?" And he says, "Oh, yeah, hi, nice to meet you." And I said, "Can I tell you something? I've never been able to discern your political opinion, and I just thank you for that. You may be a wild liberal. I don't know." And that's the point, is I appreciate that. And he actually, he didn't slap in a, "Hey, pal, you know, I'm very important." He actually put his hand on my shoulder and said, "You know, I'm so glad to hear that you feel that way. I think that's really, really important." Now, did the times change? And Jake Tapper said, "You know, I think this is the way it goes. Is you learn by modeling, and you see by modeling, what is it that's going to be rewarded?" Well, what has been rewarded at CNN? What's been rewarded at CNN is speaking in these panicked tones about President Trump, speaking in these panicked tones about him being the living and walking, breathing death to democracy. And this is what happens in these media circles. Now, the biggest question for me about these young people is, at what point do you look back and say, "This is when I turned my first trick"? Now, this is a horrible thing, and it's language it's Dana's show, and obviously I want to respect that. I'm also a discipled Christian. I want to be careful about how I use language. But if you're a young person and you are considering a job in big media or a job in politics, I beg you to hear me on this. Because of what I've been blessed to do, God's let me work in the center of D.C. He's let me work in startups and in venture cap startups and in Microsoft. And I've walked the halls of Hollywood. I've been in the big talent agencies. In other words, I have seen Babylon. I lived in Babylon. Seattle's a form of Babylon. And in seeing this, I came up with this formula I ask you to just think about. One, of course, is faith, and measure all things through God's word, etc. And you can know people by their fruits. That's primary. Secondary is this. If you decide to get into politics or big media as a personality, particularly as a personality, write down the things you will never do. Make a list. So how old are you now? 25, 26 years old? Make a list of the things you will never do. And then have them put on plaques. I'm not kidding. Have them put on plaques. So take your five closest friends, maybe your six closest friends, and your mom and dad or your brother or sister, who's ever closest to in your family, your pastor, I hope, give them a copy of this plaque. These are things I will never do. I will never accept a bribe. I will never cheat on my wife. I will never lie to Congress. I will never lie to the American people, even if it's my job to lie to the American people. I will never do it. I will never spin the truth for my boss. Have it engraved and then make a very, very special one for yourself. And on that plaque, put a mirror in the middle. So you've got the pledges of things you won't do. And in the middle, you have a mirror. Place that on the inside of your office door or wherever you will see it before you leave work. Or if you like, put it on the inside door of your apartment. You have to look at this every day. The second you do one of those things, leave. The second your family's seen you do one of those things, beg them to tell you to leave. Because here's what I've learned about DC is the first, and this is the tough vernacular. The first trick you turn is, it's hard. The first time you turn a trick, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good to be touched that way, to be treated that way. But after a while, you just get in the car and you let the John drive. That's how you end up in this position. I'm not calling Caitlin Collins a prostitute. I don't know her motivation. I don't want to bear false witness. I know the environment. And I know that when selling out happens by degree, when you look back, you don't even really remember the first time you turned the trick unless you put it on a plaque.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Carrie Lake has a lawsuit ongoing in Arizona. She will not give up on the election, and nor should she, in my judgment. What they're alleging, and we'll get into some of this audio this later in the show, is there's simply not enough time to go confirm all these signatures, and she's not behind by very much. Maricopa County had people confirming, you know, doing a signature verification, thousands and thousands and tens of thousands at a time in like 1 to 1.5 seconds. Okay, it sounds reasonable, except for this. You don't see the signature, the known valid signature, side by side with the suspect signature. You have to scroll back and forth. It doesn't appear they had time to do any actual signature verification, and 100% of the signatures came out verified. I think there are big legs to the suit, and Carrie Lake is a strong woman for moving forward on this. Not though. Not the sort of strong woman that could who could go be a spokesperson for Miller Lite. That requires you to say the S words, excrement, over and over and over again, and also to hate fellow females who have what might be referred to as classical beauty. They are now saying, Miller Lite, no, we were joking. That's not the tone that Elizabeth Hutch, the senior director of marketing for Miller Lite, took. She said, this Women's History Month, Miller Lite wanted to recognize that without these women, there would be no beer. To honor this, we wanted to acknowledge the missteps and representation of women in beer, and they go on with the S-word campaign. Now, they didn't mean it as a joke. I think what happens is young women like this have never met tough women like they want to display, so they need to make them up. Look, I live in North Idaho. Plenty of women out here with worm farms. Never heard the S-word from them. I'm torn on this. It relates to women and it relates to activists. Some squatters have occupied a $1.8 million former strip club in Portland. Now, I think that so-called sex work is not just a sin, but destroying lives. But then again, these activists are destroying lives. Maybe they're just destroying each other. That's what the left does. Speaking of cities and morals, the Cash App founder who got stabbed, sadly killed in San Francisco, now allegations are that he was going to wild sex parties with the sister of his alleged killer. It sounds very San Francisco and very tech to me, but I think Kane, you know Kane from the show, I don't think Kane's buying this. Maybe we can get his opinion on it in a little while. The next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff has a big goal, you guys. He wants to change the military for the better. And give him props. He's going to make sure that there's fewer stinking white men in the military. And that's a big one. We'll come back on The Dana Show. Hey, it's Todd Herman in for Dana. You can get me at thetoddhermanshow.com. So we announced this in the last segment, but people are always tuning into live radio. So let me restate the premise. I'm going to read to you from a piece written about a, and I'm going to give you this hint, a cabinet level secretary. And I will call this cabinet level secretary Dude, and change a bit of the aspects of Dude's job so that you cannot tie that to who Dude is. Dude is also, in keeping with the times, gender neutral. And see how long it takes people to guess who this is. Maybe we can look at Dana's Twitter feed for that. Or maybe I'll just sense it from the audience. So Stephen has found the music for the segment because it can only be NPR-type music for such a segment. So would you be so kind as to roll it, sir? Dude loves God, beer, and his electric Mustang. Sure, this cabinet-level secretary has thoughts on the nuts and bolts of Dude's job, but the nuts and bolts occupies just a sliver of his voluminous mind. The curious mind of Dude holds much of its functionality in reserve, even as he discusses the nuts and bolts of his job, down to the pointiest little detail that is his current stock and trade. This cabinet-level secretary comes off like a Mensa black card holder might have a secret go habit, or a three-second Rubik's Cube solution, or a knack of supplying off the top of his head. The day of the week for a random date in 1404, along with a non-condescending history of the Julian and Gregorian calendars. As this secretary and I talked in his unfurnished corner office one afternoon in early spring, I slowly became aware that Dude's cabinet job requires only a modest portion of his cognitive powers. Other mental facilities, no kidding, are portions to the Iliad, Puritan historiography, and Kalsgaard's Spring, not, though, in the original Norwegian slacker. Fortunately, he was willing to devote yet another apse in his cathedral mind to making his ideas three mighty themes: neoliberalism, masculinity, and Christianity intelligible to me. Who do you think that is? That describes Mayor Pete. That describes a guy who, in his role as mayor, succeeded in not being fired despite being hated by a good portion of the black community. And as you know, if you are a BIPOC, your opinion holds more weight than anyone else's. Mayor Pete. Now, he may well have all these qualities. He may well be someone who's learned stuff through books. In fact, I'm sure he's a guy who's learned stuff through books. But I'm here to tell you he does not have anything close to an understanding. He might have studied Christianity like one studies animals at a zoo. Gosh, watch this one orangutan. He always goes to this, watch this, or studied it like one reads about, for instance, I've read about being a Navy SEAL a bunch. I can't be one, never could be, never had the strength, the talents, the athleticism, never, couldn't do it. I could read about it. And Mayor Pete's not a Christian. There's nothing Christian about Mayor Pete. So he studies it. But it is this book learning. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the experience required to be the Secretary of Transportation has never existed in this man, nor the interest. And this shows it. You've been made cabinet secretary over the infrastructure of the United States to move products, goods, and people, and your focus is roads are racist plus bicycles. Then there's also this. He is a filthy liar. This is the guy who first day on his job, or first week on his job, was caught being brought into D.C. in a probably armored up SUV and getting out and getting on his bicycle so he could pretend to ride to work. Is that part of this profile? Which part of the Iliad taught him to do that?
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.